When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to the Miles Mikulski podcast, where we talk to some of your favorite artists and talk all things music related, mainly hip-hop, but you know, you might have to fling in a few things along the way. If you enjoy any of the content, make sure you follow me on socials at Miles Mikulski. Basically, see my name. If you're listening to it right now, you'll be able to see my name right there. I ain't gonna spell it out because that's kind of long still, but follow me on socials to keep updated on who the next guest will be in the future. Anyway, without further ado, let's get into another episode of the Miles Mikulski podcast.
What's going on, people? You're locked in to Wizard Radio. Joining me right now is a duo of producers that are just flames. Right, these man have got writing credits all over the place, including the Spice, well, one of the Spice Girls, which is mad because you don't hear that in these different times. You know what I'm saying?
It's true. You're right. 100%.
Yeah, introduce yourself to the people. Let them know who you are.
We are Sons of Sonics. Mo.
I'm Mikey.
All the way full circle, but it's good because now everyone can hear your voice and they know who's talking at what time. Do you know what I mean?
So
you guys have had an incredible journey so far, and obviously you're doing big things right now in LA, and obviously it started for you guys London back in the day, community radio as well, represent gang.
And
now you've gone on and just done crazy things like we've mentioned. Like, we'll go through some of the credits in a bit, but like, you've kind of got to this point now where you've released, this isn't your first ever song, but
no,
I feel like you guys are kind of, you know, coming towards obviously this bigger project, Time Zones and Tylenol, and we're seeing this track on this has come out now, and It's starting to bubble up. It's starting to do a few things here and there. Talk us through the journey. Like, how did you guys go from, you know, being producers and being on represent to big bad producers out in LA smashing it with all these different credits?
Oh man, I think, you know, so funny. Every time we get asked this question, it's like a real like deepen back into like our history, because you know, on the journey, sometimes you don't really get the opportunity to be like, oh, you know, like Mike and I don't get to sit and be like, oh, bro, do you remember when we was at uni walking down and like discussing where we would be in 10 years? Like, we don't get that. So it's always interesting kind of, you know, reenacting where we were at the point where we are. But to be fair, everything really started in church, bro. You know, we're church kids, you know, we were born into it, you know, and we just had a passion and love for music. And I actually had met Mike. I had met him a couple years before we actually like became really close at my uncle's church. And he always tells this story that, you know, when he came to the church, it was a small church, like, you know, we spoke for a bit and whatnot. And then we didn't speak, we didn't come into contact with each other again for another 2-3 years.
Yeah.
But at a new church. So I had left uncle's church and he had left whatever church he was, and then we linked up. And he came up to me and was just like, yo, like, do you remember like I met you at like your uncle's church? And I was like, nah, I don't even remember. And he's just like, no.
Like, you know what, yeah, like there was an awkward in it because you're coming with the intention of like, I want to do a story thing, and it's like, and he's still
like literally. And the maddest thing is I was with people from my church, so I was like, oh, I know this guy, like, I was gonna go speak to him. And then obviously I've gone to Mo, and Mo's just like, oh, I don't know who you are. I was like, yeah, cool. say no.
It was mad. But like, ever since then, it's just, we've just been boys, like, we've been brothers, like, you know what I mean? Our families are intertwined probably way more than people actually realize. Like, he's my mama from the same town in Nigeria, they speak the same sort of dialect, even though it's all Yoruba, but there are little differences in different dialects. So my mama from the same, so you know, when you kind of like put those elements together, it's just like, oh, this was meant to be kind of thing. Like, it was always destined to go this way. So But yeah, so met at the at church, was playing in church for a number of years. And, you know, at the time where we were transitioning into university, you know, Mike and I weren't really happy with where the state of the music industry in the UK were in regards to them giving people opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know how it is over there. It's just like, if you don't, if you ain't got a number one record or anything like that at the time, no one's checking for you. No one was interested. So we kind of was like, all right, well, let's partner up and do a duo thing.
Yeah.
Till now, I always think, why did we do that? Like, you know, like, how did we even say, yeah, let's just come together? But it happened that way. It was in a church retreat and we were coming up with names. And I remember it was just SOS. There was no like that real meaning to what it was. But that was, you know, when you look at SOS, it's like emergency, like,
yeah, yeah.
Yo, now. So, and then, yeah, and then we went off to uni and, you know, we just kind of started building. And, you know, we've both been fortunate. Me so more, you know, obviously my brother Harmony Samuel, shout out to H, who has been in the game for like 25, 30 years, has worked with everyone and, you know, anyone you can think of, like some of the songs that you probably love, you didn't realize that he made it, like Champion with Chris Brown and Chip. And so he's been around. So he was already living in Los Angeles in 2009.
Yeah.
And in 2011, he's like, come to LA, man. We were like, where? If I come to LA, man, nah, because obviously the only thing you know about Los Angeles is Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and do you get what I mean? You know,
Compton.
So it's like, it's this far place. So we ended up going, bro, and that was really where things started. That's where, like, you know, it just started building. And I remember in 2013, I'm giving you the short end of the stick because it's way longer than this, but I'm missing out certain parts. But 2013, we ended up working on Ariana Grande's first album, number one in like 35, 40 countries. And we thought, all right, cool. And when we come back to London, we should get some sort of respect now because, you know, we're in position. And I remember we went to a meeting with A&R. It was like, who is she? You're not being in London. What, yeah, we don't care.
You know what's mad, yeah? Like, obviously, I hope you're... One, I hope the A&Rs are listening right now, but they might not have a job right now. They're just retired.
Yeah, it's true. No, it was mad because I guess being that age, being 23, 24, you've been programmed to think that when you get that one record, everything changes. Like, everyone kind of shows you respect, but you still have to kind of move and act, you know what I mean? It just doesn't come to you. You have to go and let people know that this is what we done. Do you get what I mean? And so we were annoyed, like, really? Cool. So the end of 2013, we got connected to Rech 32 through Young Spray. Shout out Rech and Young Spray and Chip and everyone. And Spray wanted a song, but it was gonna feature Chip and Rech. We already knew Chip because my brother worked with him and we just had a relationship with him and whatnot. So we got in the studio and Mike and I were like, all right, when we get there, obviously Rech, man wants to work with Rech, innit? But man's gonna pattern it. And then it just ended up working. And then, you know, we started working with Rech, and then Six Words came in 2014. And then that was our first top five record. And then everything kind of just moved from there. And then 2015, no label still wanted to sign us in the UK. It was just like, all right, cool. Yeah. Say no more, innit? And then the American labels kind of came out like, we want to sign you. We're like, we're ready to go.
I feel like you guys probably had everything like just patterned and just ready. And it was just, I feel like, because obviously there's parts, I'm trying to jump in at different points, innit? Like, we need to talk about Ariana Grande link up in the first place and the second. But like, because you guys didn't have idents on your songs at that point, did you?
Tags.
No.
That's
the thing. Like, I feel like tags and that are so important.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Obviously, you guys have got it now because you can hear it on the tracks and stuff, innit? But like, at that time, because you guys were British, and sometimes when you're trying to get love from the British scene, they're just looking at you like you're just two any dons, innit?
Whereas,
Whereas when you go to America, now they're looking at you like, oh, right, like, these two guys from like England, like, they're different. Do you know what I mean? They're coming inside. And it feels weird because, don't get me wrong, I have the same issue sometimes. I'm like, I'm trying to do certain things and they're like, yeah, but you're just any black kid, bro, relax. Like, you go to an American person, you're having this most life-changing conversation. I'm like, why are we?
Bro, we've ended up in some situations that we can't explain to you how we even got there. Like, it's just, and that's probably what we appreciate about being here. Like, it didn't feel like we needed to be at the top of the top for someone to look at us and be like, you're worthy now of working with this artist. It was just,
yeah,
you're talented, we see the talent, we're interested in working with you, and you just get put in positions and you just have to be prepared, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, once we signed out here, it was like time to go. And obviously between that Wretch 2014 to like 17, we were still doing UK records. We're doing Wretch albums, we Mel C, we did Crept and Conan, we were doing everyone, George the Poet, just everyone that was bubbling at the time,
yeah,
is what we were doing, while doing, you know, Ty Dolla $ign and Trey Songz and everyone over here in America. So it was just, do you get what I mean? And even till now, a lot of people still don't know that this discography is deep, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's a lot of songs that people are like, bro, you lot made that.
Yeah, yeah. But do you know why? Do you know why? Because unlike Spotify, Apple Music, yeah, like, yeah, the actual discography looks quite light, innit?
Mm.
Oh, Mikey, I don't know if it's your playlist that you put on Spotify to let people know, innit? You know what I'm saying?
Probably. Yeah,
but you know,
Yeah, and the thing is, with us, when, you know, coming into the game, and as most new producers, it was just pure. We just loved music. We didn't understand, you know, the concept of tagging and, you know, not just being a producer but being a brand too. Like, we didn't understand how those two married, you know. Yeah. So, you know, when we expected, let me put it in that sense, people to just know, they didn't. So we would, yeah, get mad frustrated, like, raw, like, we've been putting points on the board for ages and no one's really showing. Do you get what I mean? And then as you kind of get older and you go through the system of the music industry, it becomes less personal when you understand the business side of it and you just play, yeah, your part and your position, and then it kind of just progress from there. And then next minute you're on Justin Bieber's album in the studio with him. So
yeah. And that's yeah, that's the thing. It's like, with these types of moves that you guys have made, like, there's not enough, I don't know how you guys feel now, but like, I don't feel there's enough like credit or respect on your name, because I feel like sometimes UK wise everyone's quite intrusive. They'll be like, yeah, like, did you do this person? Cool. And obviously, like, for the UK, having Wretch, Chit, you know, Young Spray, all these people, it looks good, isn't it? Obviously, Mirror May, Bella, all that, it looks good. But when you're naming these other big names that are not in really like the hemisphere, like Justin Bieber, Ariana Grande, all that, it's wild, because these are records that are probably, you lot are going to be eating good off these records for time. Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah, no, I feel like it's just what, like Mo said, we're just lovers of the art. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we came into this game, like you said, when we were going for our walk, we were like, we want to change the music that we hear. You know what I'm saying? We want to create music that we don't hear. So to be able to work with the Justins, but at the same time work with Wretch and, you know, Crept and Conan, for us, it's also a great opportunity. You know what, yeah, I'm saying? Like, for us, we're just, look, you check the scoreboard, it's there, the playlists are there, the credits are there, you know what I'm saying? You make your judgment, but you know the song slaps. And as, yeah, long, yeah, as you know that the song slaps and it's timeless, we've done our job.
Yeah,
we've done our job. You know,
exactly. Because so, I'm looking at it, like, even the one with like Tenny and Killer Kuds and that, that was, yeah, a couple of years ago. Like,
yeah,
even me, as I was going through it, I was like just looking at some extra research for the interview, and I was like, bro, you guys made that. I was like, that's a slap, bro.
Bro, we're just silent with it. You know,
yeah, yeah.
When you go through the list, it's just like, wait, you guys don't, you're not in a box. You know, you were diverse, and it stems from church. Being able to play many genres in the church service, we've just brought that into our production. So we'll, yeah, do a ballad with, you know, Amber Riley, but we'll do Afrobeats with Kid Kuds, and then we'll do hip hop with Wretch. You know what, yeah, I'm saying? So it's, mm-hmm, we just do what, like, we just make who we are. You know, yeah, what I'm, so
I mean, that's the beauty of it as well. And like, because you guys are so diverse, I guess you've kind of got like a production process that you guys work from, like a little blueprint. Because, mm-hmm, usually, like, I watch a lot of like Genius Deconstructed and that, and like, you, mm-hmm, see some people like take a day trip and that, like, they are a duo as well, mm-hmm, and they do their thing, they have their set way of doing stuff, and then it works out. So do you guys have like a methodology of like things that you do to make sure it works? Do one of you lead on making the beat, the other one like says, oh, we should do this, or do you sit there and make it together?
I think majority of our sessions is mainly based on the feeling of the day. You know, like, you can't, this music thing, yes, there's a blueprint, but there isn't. You know what I'm saying? As creators, we have to go by how we feel, go by how the mood feels. So usually we start with a good conversation with the artist, with the writer, see where their headspace is at, what they're listening to. That could be an hour or so, just vibing. And then we start usually with chords. you know, codes for us to match the feeling of the conversation, match the direction we want to go.
Yeah.
And then me and Roy just literally have two computers, two laptops just building at the same time, you know, and we've done it so, like, we've done it so much, we know what the other person's trying to do. So it's like, we're not fighting with each other. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, we know that, okay, if he's doing this and I can hear he's doing that, I'll add the other and vice versa. And then, yeah, we enjoy it, man. We enjoy the process. I think one thing a lot of producers need to know is like, I get it, you're in the session and you're trying to show that, yeah, you make the beat and you produce, but at the same time, just enjoy the process. You know what I'm saying? You're here to create a song, you're here to create something that's timeless. And, you know, for us, like I said, we've done it so many times. Now we're very quick at it. People be like, oh, you finished the beat. Yeah. Like, we know what we're doing. It's intentional. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So by the time we've done that, we've made the beat, we've songwrite with the songwriters, record the song. Every session, what, 8-7 hours? In, out, you love the song, go again the next day, you know, and just keep it going. You know? So,
are you guys mixing, mastering yourself as well, or?
Yeah, we mix, like, so we have a very complex process, and that's kind of like why we hone in on our sonics, because we will do a mix ourselves to how we like and how it feels good, but then we also have an in-house engineer by the name of Jose Cardoza. Shout out to Jose. Who also is in our team with BOE, who mixes our records, and then we master with Dave Kutch in New York. So it goes through a thorough process. So when people are like, yo, why does it sound like that? It's because marinated that song. Sonics, you know what I'm saying? We've gone through the process because, like we said, like, we have to live up to our name. Our name is Sons of Sonic. So that means that the sonics got to be slapping, and then the feeling has to be there, you know?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you can't be moving mad with the, you can't have that as your name and then the sonics don't bang. Like,
and it's dead. Yeah, it's just not a bang, bro.
Yeah, for real.
So, like, really and truly, like you said, average session is probably like 7-8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how important is it to have a vibe with the artist first? Or is sometimes, have you been in sessions, we don't have to name names, where it's just been like, yo, we got a placement. We need to just make this instrumental, let them do their thing and get out of here, man.
Yeah, bare times. There's been bare moments. I'm not gonna lie. Moments,
yeah.
Where it's just like, okay, because sometimes you don't know what artist you're working with until you're in the studio with the artist. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Like, you know them, but there isn't much information to go by. So it's just like, and so, because it's a recommendation from a reliable source or from like your label and stuff, you're like, all right, cool. Like, let's go in and see. And then you get in and you're like, yeah, this is gonna be one of them ones. Like, do you know what I mean? Just so you're just like, all right, cool. In your head, you're like, okay, we're gonna play this beat or we're gonna play from this section or whatever. And you guarantee that they're gonna pick one of those. And usually 9 times out of 10, it works out perfect that way.
Yeah.
But in other situations, you connect with the artist. There's just a vibe about them that you like, or you can see where the vision is and where it's going. And so you can take time and you can just really, really home in on what you're trying to do. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't give 100% to every artist and every client that we sit in the studio with, but you can kind of weigh up what ones are going to go and what ones are not going to go. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Because you've done, like Mike said, you've done it so many times. So you're just like, all right, cool. You just, all right, this is a passion project for you, isn't it? All right, cool. Like, you just want to sing, say no more, cool. There's a balance that we've been able to reserve, but we always make sure that the experience is way more important than the actual record that we're making, even if it's one of them ones where it's just a quick turnaround, like 4 or 5 hours, like, we're out, do you know what I mean? So,
but the thing is, you know what, like, because I hear it, and I've definitely been in situations, not production, like making beats wise, but I've been in the ones where I'm in a room and I'm like, yeah, I have an assignment to do, you know. We're just going to get this song done and we're going to keep it.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying?
But like,
wrap this one up.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but the thing is, I guess because you guys, like, that beat now, that you're going to put with that person, that stem, because if it's that dead, it's just a stem. It ain't even a vocal, it's just a stem,
It's just a stem.
Are you not like, are you going to be secretly like, raw, like, that was a sick beat, you know? Like, why'd they choose that one if they're just going to mess it up like that?
Bad times.
There's been times where we're like, oh yeah, they're not going to keep this beat. It's cool. This beat's going to somebody else. Like, we just know it now. You know what I'm saying? So it does happen. It definitely does happen.
Yeah, because that's what there was. Sometimes I fall for producers. I'm like, you be cooking up that beat. You might have been sitting on it for 2 years. and then someone just uses it and it doesn't do anything, and you're like, bro, why are you wasting my time? Don't do that.
No. Yeah. But then here's, but the other side of that is, and this is me being honest, is like sometimes, even if it's like, oh, why do you choose that beat? They're paying you stupid amounts of money. So you're trying to weigh up, do I just close my eyes because I know I can repeat this beat and just get this bag that I probably won't get from an artist that's established, or it's going to take longer than it needs to for them to handle their business. So you're just like, all right, well, you may not be what I wanted, or, you know, it may not make sense for who it is, but you're paying quadruple what the price. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, so you're just like, all right, I can close my eyes to this one and do it, and we can repeat and make the same beat, the same sort of beat again. We've done it once. So honestly, this is that balance.
Honestly, I call that stuff business purposes. that's it. We're doing this for business. Thank you.
Yeah, bro. I'm telling you. Don't let no producer lie to you. Like, most of us, if not all of us, have been like, the check is deep. So let me just, you know what I mean? Let me just say, close my eyes. And I know you're not really going to push it the way we want it to, because we know the beat is banging. But we were walking away with a nice stack. Do you know what I mean?
Listen, there's business, there's bills, there's inflation.
Handle yours, boy. You know what I mean?
Like, business.
But let's talk about like this forthcoming album then, like that you guys are releasing. So we've got the first single, which is out, and it started as underwater BP 120 BPM. And then has now been transformed and has now become a proper song. So like, how did you get like, was it Ghetto Boy? So like, how did you get him on the track? Or did you kind of like just, because obviously everything's on Spotify already. So like, did you just leave it, let it come out, and then people are like, I mess with this beat, I want to jump on it? Or did you kind of like pitch it to certain people?
So we had made the beat in LA. We've made a couple of beats, like we just go into the studio and vibe. When we don't have sessions, we're just creating, stacking up on the folders. And Mo had traveled to Ghana. He's, you know, we've been venturing out into different, you know, other things. Mo's very highly into fashion, so he was in Ghana working on some stuff with his fashion business and stuff. So he managed to get a session with Ghetto Boy and Kelvin Boy in the mountains and hills of Ghana. There's actually a video on our page of them basically, like, you know, making the record. And Ghetto Boy, Kelvin Boy just did their thing. You know, I'm pretty sure Mo can go into detail, but they did their thing, killed the record. Record was sent to me while I was in LA, and I was just like, yeah, this is crack. Like, this is mad. Like, this, because I just had it on repeat and I was hitting Mo. I was just like, what? That they did this in the hills, like just literally outside. So, and then they finished the record the next day, and then we just kind of cleaned up and finished it up. And I feel like, just to explain the underwater BPM, so what we're also doing, like, is we realized that a lot of songs that we like, we like the songs, but we just like the production, you know. And some people, they want to just hear the beat, you know, they want to hear and appreciate the beat. And we're like, you know what, let's put this instrumental out. Like, let's put this instrumental out as its own entity so people can, you know, appreciate that. So when you listen to it and then you hear the song, you're like, oh, I can enjoy both at the same time. Yeah. So that's kind of like, you know, the reason of putting out the original instrumental. But from the project, this record is kind of like the first conversation in the journey of the project. So the project basically is our journey throughout the whole career. And, you know, the time zones and the time zone represents us traveling in different time zones, working in LA, Nigeria, London, you know. And then the Tylenol represents, Tylenol out here, if you don't know, is like aspirin, like paracetamol. That paracetamol out here. So the Tylenol basically represents all the headache of the music industry. All the back and forth and all the dealing with the politics and people's emotions and egos. Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, you're going to really understand our journey and who we are, Sons of Sonics. You know what I'm saying? Like, being British born Nigerians living in America, you can understand why our music feels like that. Like, we live in LA, everything is high and slow and the sun and everything. So that's why, you know, honest and our music sounds like that. No, it's the village, you know, we're part of our environment and the music that we listen to, but we're still locked into like what's going on in London, you know, working with Bella and Reginald and all of them, and then Nigeria, Kid Cudi, and all the other artists that are on the project. So, you know, it's a very, very it's an experience is what I'll say, more than a project. It's going to be an experience that I feel like people get a good insight to who we are. Yeah, honest is a problem. Like, when I listen to it, but I'm like, you gotta be a fan of your own music. Like me, anyone that knows me or Mo, when we're in the studio playing our own music, we're listening to it as if we're listening to like Timbaland's music. We're like, yo, did you hear that kick? And I'm like, forget we did it. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like, I listen to Honest all the time, and it just feels good. And you know, we're just right now pushing this record to make sure that people also capture that feeling. And we're being patient with it. You know, there's so much music being released now, and you know, people are like, they'll drop a single, and because it doesn't necessarily like go the way they were thinking, once they want it to go, they'll drop the next one. I'm like, no, take time, like let people know about the record, push it, like really do the rounds. And that's what we're doing. You know, we've got all the singles and everything lined up, but it's just like, look, you understand, you guys are enjoying yourself in summer, you're out at festivals, you will come back home and you'll meet Spotify, you know what I'm saying? honestly, banging on your head, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, there's a special feeling that we definitely want people to, you know, appreciate and enjoy. So
yeah, I mean, that's the thing, like working records as a producer, as a, you know, promo, as a media company, whatever you want to call yourself at this point, like it's so important, because tracks, hip-hop tracks like Track Star from Mooski, like 2020 blew up in 2021, that Armani White Billie Eilish tune came out time ago, but everyone's rinsing that tune now, and it's like you kind of have to just wait for that organic moment sometimes. Like, there's a Davido track, Stand Strong, that came out when Burna Boy's Last came out. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna lie, you ain't hearing that at the club right now.
But you're not hearing that.
There's gonna be a time where people are gonna be out here sinning and I wanna go church.
I'm telling you, bro. I mean,
literally, and it adds to our whole thing about making timeless music, because you know, we strive for that timeless on box music, because like you said, you could put out the record now and in 2 years time, because it's so good, it'll still be appreciated. So we don't worry, we're just like, oh, you guys will catch up, you guys is cool, like you're distracted, like you said, with Last and everything that's going on, you can catch up. It's cool, you know what I'm saying? So
once they have the shot.
And the algorithms are, the algorithms are just magic right now.
So that's a whole nother conversation.
There's an interview with Tyler the Creator, and he's saying, yo, I'm still working my project. It's been a year. I'm still like putting time in, because
posting it,
most people still haven't heard it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And we get so caught up in the community of just, oh, we have 20,000 followers or 100,000 followers. Like, there's 8 billion people on the earth, bro. Do you know what I mean?
It's
so
mad.
It's mad. So you just have to just work it as much as you can, put time and just be patient, you know. One of the greatest things me and Mikey says is, the day you plant the seed isn't the day you eat the fruit. It just doesn't work like that. So you plant the seed, whatever song it is, and you just keep working it, you know what I mean? You keep watering it, you keep doing all the things, and eventually you see the results of what that is, even if it's not what you think it is.
I mean, it's like with this day and age now, we're seeing old school songs get sampled like crazy because of TikTok and all this stuff. So even like other songs that are going to come through, like The Seed and the Fruit, it's literally that. It's like, you might drop your tune and it might literally have like 5 followers. It might be one of them, like, you know, when it's like the name of the thing and it's on the says dash topic on YouTube. And then it automatically it changes into a whole madness. So I mean, for you guys, I don't think that's not going to be the case, because obviously I'm assuming, and this is where you can name drop if you want to name drop, you know what I mean? I'm just setting this one up. Like, you've got some big names that you've already worked with on the projects. Cough, cough, you can say a few.
I mean, you know, just there's a few.
This one.
It's hard. You know, like I said, one of the things that I want to be honest about, see what I did there? One of the things I want to be honest about is that, like, it's easy to be like, oh, you know, we have this big name, we have that big name, but, you know, there's a lot of industry politics, bro. I'm not going to pretend to you. And one of the things that Mike and I have placed on ourselves is value, and we place, and we also place importance on breaking new artists, you know. That's the real gag, as Kiki Palmer says, like, is breaking an artist, because sometimes with a lot of the established one, you know, even though you know them personally, you have to go through highs and lows to be like, can you jump on this record, can you please jump on this record, can you please, you know what I mean? Bearing in mind, you'll be texting them like, what's good, bro? Yeah, did you watch the Arsenal game yesterday? Like, it's but when it comes to that sort of things, you have to go through certain, you know, deliberations and things. So yes, it definitely, there are names, but at the same time, like, that isn't our focus. Our focus is the music, whoever and whatever it is, and being able to showcase new talent. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Because there, a lot of the times, that new talent is just as good as the ones that are signed or established, and they just need a platform. And that's what we're about. So,
all right. Yeah. So, to be fair, fantastic answer. And you still didn't tell me who's on it. So, I respect it. That was a diplomatic way.
I had to be political. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I respect it. That was well done.
Yes, that was a 10 out of 10. I'm thinking to myself, listen, there's other presenters out there that would have been like, okay, we're just going to move on. I'm like, nah, I have to just give credit where credit's due. I keep it moving.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, man. It's the truth, bro. It's the truth. You know what I mean? Like, everyone will come on here and say something else. Nah, I'm keeping it 100.
Yeah, yeah. Now, but to be fair, I'm looking forward to it when it does drop. And like, what's the rollout plan? So you got singles lined up already. Are we looking at this year, next year? Like, what's the plan?
Obviously, we've got the singles ready. We'll probably drop a few more singles before the end of the year, top of the year, the whole budget will be out. But again, the beauty of this whole thing is we're in control. You know what I'm saying? And we're testing the waters and seeing what's happening, because you could have a single that you're like, this is single two, but then the whole market and the world is somewhere else. So having all the other singles prepared, we can be like, right, let's put three, plus two, and you know what I'm saying, move accordingly. So I think the best thing for us is knowing that we have all the assets ready. We're like, okay, what's going on right now? Where's the window? What can we drop? What's the temperature looking like? Dropping it. But one thing that is guaranteed is every single song is a banger.
Yeah.
Every single song connects, whether it's up, down, you know what I'm saying, female, male, there is something in every single record that you're like, ah, man, that's hard. Do you get what I'm saying? And because, again, we've done this so many times and we understand the importance of songs. We understand the importance of getting a message across. And because it's personal to us and it's a part of our journey, we feel it. You know what I'm saying? We're never going to put anything out that we don't feel. Every single one of these records. So we're excited, man. We're really excited. There's a lot of lessons that's come from our history of working with artists across the years, and we're like, okay, time to tour our own farm. We're gonna put all this stuff into our records, and you know, people are gonna be like, man, you guys actually know what you're doing. We do.
Listen, just tell them to go on the playlist and just see what you've done. The album is a reinforcement, but we know you've been doing things already. Like, let's say it like that. But running out of time, because I'm looking at the Zoom and I'm seeing the Zoom.
I'm looking at it too, bro.
I'm being smart. You know what I'm saying? I'm not paying for the update. You know what I'm saying? The money is not long.
Nah, I hear you, brother.
And you know what this part about is? Everybody's listening. I'm leaving this in. This is still going out already.
Love it.
So with that being said, what else is coming for you guys away from your album? Like, is there anything else coming, or are you just kind of literally now locked in album mode and ready to go?
We've got a few records coming with Bella. We've been working on Bella's project. We've been working with a few artists out here. Songwriters as well, been working with Pooh Bear, you know, a lot of artists in the Latin world as well. So it's the same thing. Nothing's really changed. Like, even though we are in album mode, we're still working with, you know, the big names and people sowing the seeds and getting the music out there. So as you're seeing us dropping music for ourselves, we're going to see you with a lot of you guys.
Listen, you guys are here, hardworking. I love it. I love to see it. Like, obviously, appreciate, I don't know you guys like that, but proud of you lot for, you know.
Now you do.
Yeah, there you go. We ain't met a person yet. You know what I'm saying? It's different.
Soon come.
Like, obviously, you guys have gone out to LA, you're doing big things, like, and just keep up the good work, innit? I'm looking forward to the album. I'm going to be spinning it on my show and all that. Is there anything left you want to say to anyone listening out there, to the fans of you two smashing it, doing bits?
Just follow us on our socials. On Instagram, it's at Sons of Sonics. Our own personal ones are connected to our joint one. So yeah, follow us, keep up with the journey. New music coming, new photos coming, everything new coming. So
listen, Mo, Mikey, you guys smashed it. We need to play one more tune. Choose a tune. Obviously, I feel like I don't really know the tune, but you guys got to introduce it, innit? So I can sit back.
All right, we're Sons of Sonics. I'm Mikey.
I'm Mo.
And this is our new single featuring Ghetto Boy, For the Honest.
Yeah.
There we go. And that's it. We saved it with even with the time we rematch.